Chris Moore.
I Sports love him. Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66.
The man.
WFAN.
Yeah. We know where we are, for crying out. I've been here all weekend. Me and Matt Casey holding down the fort like it's no tomorrow. Casey's in that little room having to listen to me prattle on about stuff he doesn't care about. Man, I said to Lou Gower, I said, make sure you have the fan on the ride home. He laughed heartily. And so did I, to tell you the truth. Lou Gower is out. Rosenberg is in. Paulie Rosenberg in the chair with Matt Casey. Nice to have you with us on this Sunday night. Cold, little snow coming in. Nothing too serious, I guess. So do take it slow out there if you're on the roads tonight. My friend Sweeney Murdy doesn't have to worry about the snow. He's got that candy job where he just lies around, drinks with Eddie Coleman at night, eats chicken fingers and stuff and snacks, then puts out a big expense report, puts it on Caitlin's desk, gets repaid, does it again the next week, and then pretends to pay a little attention to baseball. I mean, what a life this guy's got. Sweeney Murdy from South Florida. How are you, handsome?
I can't fool anybody after 18 years of this, can I?
No, not really.
Same routine. You got it down pat pretty good.
Yeah. It pretty much has to be that way. And why shouldn't it be that way? Why shouldn't it be that way?
Yeah. I said, listen, it's a hard job, but somebody's got to do it.
Absolutely. Hey, it's fun. Another fun we've had, and I told you last year before it started, I said, I think you're going to have a really good spring, a really fun spring after they made the changes and brought the young players in, because there'd be great interest after kind of a stale period of Yankee baseball with a lot of veteran players, where the old questions on spring training were ones that couldn't be answered because the questions were, how healthy are they going to stay? And no one knew.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot there. Now we've turned a page. We watched last year with Torres and Andujar and players coming up, and Bird and Sanchez and all the guys we wanted to talk about, Todd Frazier. And now we come in and we've added Tulowitzki. We've added Voit off of a half a year, LeMayu. It's just going to be very interesting for Aaron Boone as he tries and put together the jigsaw puzzle every night. How different do you think lineups will be night to night for him?
I think quite a bit. You know, I think the days of running your same 7-8 guys out there 5 or 6 days of the week are pretty much gone, and not just for the Yankees, but for every team.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking, and I understand, you know, fans' frustration with it, but you're dealing with a number of factors, and, you know, the opponents change, what they can run at you, pitching-wise changes, really how people feel day-to-day changes. So I think you've got an expectation to see a certain number of guys out there 130 or more times, but the way they're arranged, yeah, that can change. You know, I think the one thing that might make it a little bit different is the Yankees are very right-handed. It's not like you can move a lot of pieces around based off of right and left-handedness. But I still think there's enough room in there to maneuver with, again, just the factors that I mentioned, that, you know, trying to see the same lineup 3 days in a row probably isn't going to happen.
No, I doubt it. And I'm interested in a lot of guys. Like I said on the air earlier today, Bird, Frazier, Gardner are going to be interesting in the spring. And then if, in fact, they are committed to Tulowitzki, and then he plays. Now you've got Andujar, Torres, and LeMayu. Two can play, one cannot in general, if in fact Tulowitzki is your shortstop. How do you expect that foursome to be utilized by Aaron Boone?
I think that I'm not as concerned about the outfield situation. You know, Brett Gardner's going to play a good bit. You know, they brought him back. They like his defense. They do like his bat. And the at-bats he takes. Frazier's going to be interesting to see how many at-bats he can force the Yankees to give him based on being healthy and what he shows. I think, you know, the path is clear for him to make this team, but how many at-bats does he force them to give? That's really the big thing. And how many lefties you see will play a part in that too. The infield situation is interesting. For a lot of the reasons you mentioned, I don't know how Troy Tulowitzki is going to look after playing baseball games for a month. You know, I know how the Yankees feel he looks after watching him work out And I know how he looks based on what people are saying. He's continued to do working out. But it's a lot different, just the grind of a baseball season for a guy who has not played baseball in a year. That's the key for me right there. You know, I mean, he just hasn't played. So I think no matter how good a player is, I don't think you can really read into too much if he spent an entire season not actually playing the game. So a lot of it is based on that. And listen, they weren't a good defensive team last year on the infield. And I think Tulowitzki, a healthy Tulowitzki, can help that because it keeps Gleyber Torres at second base. I think pushing Torres over to short with Andujar on the left side creates a little uneasiness, a little inconsistency, and doesn't help the overall defensive infield. It would put a Gold Glover at second base in DJ LeMahieu, but it's still not the right balance, I think, if you're trying to improve infield defense. So a lot of it is riding on the health of Tulowitzki.
LeMahieu played 128 last year. He averaged 145 the 3 years previous. He's 31 years old in June. He expects to play, I would think. I don't think he's signed here to play 70 games. How's that going to work?
Yeah, I think you'll get some time at second base by, I'm probably shifting Torres over a little bit occasionally because I don't think they're going to try to run Tulowitzki into the ground, especially after the whole missing a year thing.
Right.
The part I'm curious about is how often they're willing to spell Andujar late in games. I mean, we saw what happened last year in the playoff situation with Neil Walker getting the start at third base because of the defensive concern. And I do think as long as that remains a concern, I think LeMahieu is going to get significant time there late in games. He can spell Andujar occasionally if you want to move a DH spot around. LeMahieu can play third there. But I'm curious to see how often you're willing to take away an at bat late in the game and give it to LeMahieu so he can get a couple of innings at third base in there late when you have a lead.
Yeah, I am too, and I'm interested too in whether Bird stays on the roster if Voit wins the job.
They won't. They can't. I mean, I don't unless there are other injury situations that happen or other positions that force this kind of a move, you're going to have a three-man bench, and I don't see a guy who is strictly a backup first baseman occupying one of those three spots. The Bird and Voit battle for first base is so much more interesting because there only one can probably be on this team. I don't see any way around it. Even when Aaron Boone hinted earlier this week that he thinks there's going to be a lot of quality depth here, including a good team at AAA, I think that was another way of saying the guy who doesn't win first base is going to be at AAA. They both have options remaining, so that is something they can do. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. You like to say in spring training that it's really not about results; it's about who takes good at bats. Listen, these guys are going to get 50 or 60 chances to show what they can do. It's going to be about the results in those at bats. And if it's equal, I'd like to see where they go. If Greg Bird has some sort of a spring like he did 2 years ago before that foul ball off the ankle changed everything, I'm curious to see where they would lean because remember, this is a very right-handed lineup. And if Bird has the type of spring that shows he can steal this job, then even if Voit does well, I want to know if they're concerned enough about the balance of the lineup that Bird's left-handed bat is somewhat of a tiebreaker for them or some sort of difference maker for them. I believe them when they say Voit has the upper hand or whatever phrase you want to use because of his finish to the season last year, but if Greg Bird does something to force their decision here, even if Luke Voit does well, what's the deciding factor there? And I don't know if there's a great answer to that yet because we haven't seen it play out that way.
I agree, and I think it's a fascinating part of spring training, and people will be paying attention to it. One other question I had regarding starting pitchers going fewer innings now you know, when you're making your lineup, you go, oh, well, they got a lefty today. We're gonna play this lineup. And then you think, well, you know, that lefty will be out in the fifth inning in all likelihood.
Yeah.
I mean, so if you're Aaron Boone or Mickey Callaway or any other manager, you know, the world has become a tougher place for you to use that 25-man puzzle that you have every day. You've got five or six pitchers that may be needed in any given day, and a lot of games, five pitchers are used. And then you play again the next night, and the same with your lineup. Maybe you got three extra guys. One of them is your backup catcher. So it's managing isn't what it used to be. You got a lot of options now and a lot of second guessing for fans for sure, because good players are going to be on the bench.
Yeah, and there are also a lot of like secondary and tertiary factors to consider when you say, oh, what's this lineup about? You know, you might know that another team's, let's say it's the first game of a series, but the other team's top right-handed reliever has pitched 2 days in a row.
Right. You know, right, exactly.
You've got to take that into consideration when you're making out your
lineup. Or maybe they're going with Tampa, right? Maybe they're going with openers.
Yeah, and it might not make sense the day. You know, it's another reason I don't like posting lineups anymore, because all you get is grief from, you know, why is this guy batting here?
Exactly, and it's only going to get worse, right?
Yeah, you're gonna figure out the lineup, you know, when the game starts. So you don't need me to post it on Twitter, because I don't need your grief about it.
You can feel for them. I mean, they're looking at it because people, when they look at a lineup, are traditionalists. They're thinking about that starter going seven innings.
Names in the order. You're not looking at any of the factors going into it. You're just looking at the nine names in the order.
Are they starting a righty or a lefty? That's what you're thinking.
They're starting a righty. Right.
Why isn't this guy? And, you know, the manager knows he probably is only going to go four innings. That's why.
And there are a lot of other things, you know, that just go into trying to figure out what you have to deal with that day from your own players, too, not just who the opponent is. You know, maybe you know that and you're not letting on to us. Maybe you're trying not to tell us that so-and-so has a bad quad and you need to rest him just a couple of days or just get him off his feet for a little bit more than usual so that it doesn't turn into something big. You know, those are the kinds of things that the managers try to. Sometimes they're successful in keeping it from us, and other times it just becomes too big a deal where they can't do that. But yeah, a lot of different things going into the lineup. And even if there aren't very many different combinations, as we said, you only have three players on the bench. There's only so much you can do, which again is where the versatility has to come in. The Yankees, you know, you're going to carry one extra catcher. LeMahieu is already your extra guy on the infield. He can play second. He can play third. You know, I wonder if he can play first, you know, and if he can play first, if they want him to play first, he's a right-handed batter. So that could factor into who wins the first base job if they're both playing well. Your extra outfielder, we already said, you know, I, at this point, you think it's cleared, path is cleared for Clint Frazier as long as, you know, he stays healthy. And again, it's just a matter of trying to figure out where those at-bats are coming from.
And the Yankee fan loves Clint Frazier. You know, I can tell already from fielding calls, because he's a different cat. You know, he's more athletic, more bull in a china shop, more plays with his hair on fire at a team that's pretty buttoned up and a team that's not as athletic as Houston or Boston. How concerned is Cashman and or Boone that they're not as athletic as Houston and Boston?
You know, I don't know that they look at it as a matchup that way specifically. You know, it's not, you know, you're not running 11 on 11 drills trying to keep up with the other team. I think they like the idea that Frazier can give them enough times to spell Gardner or Stanton or Judge, and remember that there's a DH to work with and that you can use this kind of rotation here. You know, and I should mention Hicks in there too. It's not like you're going to run him out there 158 games. But you've got an option here of a guy who is athletic enough to play some different outfield spots for you. So, again, though, you know, I think the Yankee fans are in love with him because you haven't really seen him yet. He hasn't performed at the big league level yet.
Right.
And
they don't have anybody like him either.
Yeah. And
style-wise.
For better or for worse, you know, you've seen Hicks and Gardner, and I know that there are Yankee fans who are down on them because they aren't you know, the next level superstar.
Well, Gardner's age. Gardner's age is.
Really,
yeah, Gardner's age has hurt him with the Yankee fan. He's had some slumps, and they just feel like
the
game's passed him.
There's long been an underappreciation for what he has been, though. Even at his best, I don't think Yankee fans have appreciated how good he's been. And the fact that he's gotten older and is perceived to be the guy standing in the way of Bryce Harper, I don't think that's realistic based off of how the Yankees valued both of those players. I don't think it was a question of either or. I think it was, let's just bring back Gardner. We've got Frazier, and this is how we're going.
Right. I agree with you on that. And I just think that, you know, Gardner's gone through some really hot streaks and some really, really cold ones as well. And player, you know, they look around at the youth at Houston. And look, Houston finished, what, last 3 years in a row to get some of the picks that have made them who they are right now. And the Red Sox were had a lot of young players do well and become a part of their core as well, with good speed in the outfield and good speed on the bases and much better on base percentage than the Yankees. So I can see where the concerns are there for a team that hits a lot of home runs and strikes out a lot. Well, you know, I wish we were more like them, where we had higher OBP and more balls in play and more runners circling the bases than we have. So
I don't think it's for lack of trying either. I remember that, you know, remember that Gary Sanchez's numbers last year factored into all that as a team, and it was brutal. You know, he's not supposed to be that bad.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's projected to be better, and when his numbers bounce back, if you get production out of first base over a full season, which you haven't had for a long time, you know, that overall team number comes up too. You know, did you ever think that it would be this hard to replace Mark Teixeira? Because that's really what it's come down to for the Yankees. That's been really hard to do, is to duplicate that. You know, when he got healthy again, the consistent performance that Teixeira gave you, the Yankees haven't been able to really fill that yet.
No, and I do think that if Sanchez was better and is better, and I certainly expect he will be, that helps Stanton. I think makes Stanton a better player if Sanchez isn't hitting 186. I just think he'll see better pitchers and makes the Yankee lineup that much better. Out of time. Enjoy your evening as always. We'll talk again probably next weekend. We got games on the Fan next weekend.
Next Saturday,
yeah.
Red Sox in Fort Myers is the first exhibition game. So there are games, and I'll be here to talk about them, because that's what I do, Seymour.
Beautiful, beautiful thing, Sweeney. Have a great night on the company dole.
You too.
That's our boy, Sweeney.